Welcome to Digital Life with Emmanuel Onwuka and Yvonne Ohaifo.
And we're set to take you on another journey on the number one tech and innovation show on Radio Digital Live. You're all welcome. Lagos, Nigeria, wherever you're listening to us from. Remember, this is Digital Life and we're here to bring you all the insightful conversations on technology across the world, but centered, really centered on Nigeria. My name is Emmanuel Onwuka and I am Yvonne Ohaifo, which you already know if you've been listening since morning. She's been here, is set to take you on another journey. Last we had quite an insightful conversation.
Indeed, we did. We did have that last week. Was intense. Well, Lagos, welcome back to Digital Life. I'm Yvonne Ohaifo. Again today, we bring you an insightful conversation on technology. We're still talking about advancing robotics in Africa. We began this conversation last week following the presentation of the latest prototype of a humanoid robot being developed by Tesla Electric Car Company. According to Tesla CEO Elon Musk, the robot is a work in progress and will be on sale to the public in a few years' time.
Last week was so... I had so many perspectives. I didn't even understand. Someone called on the show and said he wants company. Madam Esther called and she said, oh.
And I found it very... It was quite insightful because if we think about it, a lot of people are lonely in this world and are also terrified of actual human beings.
Yeah.
You know, the drama that human beings bring.
Yeah, sadly, they want something they can predict.
And control.
To an extent.
And control to
and
a large extent.
That's very concerning.
To a large extent.
That's
something they can control.
You know, it's worrisome that somebody wants something that you can't control.
Didn't you hear the man that sent a message to us and said that, I want a robot wife because women to get wahala. That was what he said, you know. That was what he said. And it's funny, but, you know, it's the future, really.
Yeah.
If I look at it.
You know, what really got to me last week was that a lot of persons seem like they can accept, you know, robots in their daily life, which is something I was thinking, I was skeptical about. I was like, I didn't know the standing of most people, you know, when it comes to robots, because we've seen movies, you know, over time, we've seen robot going haywire and all the rest. So last week was really an eye-opener to really understand that, a lot of persons are really interested in this. It's something that we can actually do. But the thing here, and the question here still remains, how close is Nigeria to actually start manufacturing these robots,
you know?
And I think today we had a perfect person. Last week we had James Ibekasin, who is also a robotics engineer, and he has been developing, you know, on the scale from Abia State. But today we move on to Ibadan.
I'm happy we're going to Ibadan because we've stayed on the southeast for a while.
Yeah.
Let's move to the southwest. You know, things are happening there as well. Anyway, our guest is a PhD holder and is the founder of Robotics and Artificial Intelligence Nigeria. He served as a member of the Robotics Research Group at the University of Manchester. And while in the UK, he focused on developing ground and underwater robots to support the UK's nuclear decommissioning program. Oh, more that. So, wow, his resume is impressive. Good God.
You feel like hiring him right away.
I know, but I don't have the money to hire him. joining us is Dr. Olushola Ayola. Thank you so much, Dr. Ayola, for joining us.
The pleasure is mine. Thank you for having me on the show.
Dr. Ayola, please, how do you pronounce? Is it Ayola or Ayola?
Ayola.
Ayola. Okay, fantastic.
Yeah.
I know the Yoruba language is quite tonal, so yes. Dr. Ayola, your resume is very intimidating. Oh, now, wow.
Thank you. And the truth is that there are many people, Nigerians, who are doing great outside the country. Doing us proud also. We just don't have them. Many of them coming home to contribute.
Why do you think they're not coming back home?
Because many people believe that the country is not supportive of great ideas. You know, even for me, when I started RAIN, of course I did my feasibility study and I found out that Nigerians would welcome the idea. But the politicians felt, well, the people that I approached felt that we have more problems in the area of youth not being involved in politics. you know, this was a commissioner I approached, and he said, no, you guys should be more involved in politics. For now, you don't have to do robotics. You don't even have power supply. So what's that misplacement of priority? Get into politics first. Let's get the country back working.
But
not realizing that these contributions are the ones that can help the country.
But in a way, the person, that man was right.
Uh-huh.
He's right because, you know, we can't be talking about robotics when we're dealing with flooding right now. We're dealing with flooding. We're dealing with food palava as it stands, you know. Today is World Food Day, but people are dealing with severe flooding in communities. Farmlands have been eroded.
Okay. Before you answer, Dr. Ayola, I have a different perspective to it.
Okay.
So, he's actually right, and the commissioner is right.
Yes, they're both right.
They're both right. The reason because we can't have that commissioner who does not understand that tech is the way forward to solve these problems, including flooding and electricity. We cannot have him sitting in that seat.
That's correct.
You know, that is why the youth have to participate in politics and should be more interested in politics, to take people away like him from power and actually people who really understand it better.
Exactly, which is why...
There are two types of youth. There are two types of youth, and that's where we have to get it right.
Okay.
Number one, we have those youths who have something doing. Mm-hmm. Either medical doctors creating waves in the medical sector, engineers building new innovations and helping people in little ways. Now, when those kinds of people get into politics, they know what the problems are. Mm-hmm. They know how government can help the business sector. Mm-hmm. But we also have the other group of youths who have always been mentored by politicians.
Mm-hmm.
And all they know is to get there and do their own politics.
Exactly.
Take care of the smart infrastructure.
Dr. Ayola, you deserve a shekere. Shekere to that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay, can I continue? So
please go ahead.
When someone tells me, drop what you're doing, we don't need it now, join politics, I'm thinking, okay, join politics to do what exactly? Why not let us start with getting the youths, have something doing, and advise the government, and from there, they can get used to having, you know, governance issues and contribute as politicians. But for now, we don't really have enough technocrats who are youths, who are into different things. And many times, those abroad will not come to a country that does not support business ideas. So that's the major problem. Like for me, I told myself when I was coming to Nigeria that I would not ask government for help. I want to set up my own company without power supply from Nigeria, without government funding or anything, so that if I can survive in this situation, then I know that government funding will only be a boost and not a requirement for survival. You know, and that's the way we started. And it has been very helpful because now when people in government, when international organizations see what we are doing at RAIN, they're like, wow, we should work together, we should partner, because they've been able to see someone doing something that can actually survive without government.
Okay.
And for an idea to survive without government, it must be satisfying the needs of the people, because the people are the ones now keeping that idea alive.
Which brings me to this question I'm about to ask, Dr. Ayola. Where would you place robotics development at the moment in Nigeria? Where are we on a scale of 1 to 10? Where are we?
We're at 2 now.
2?
Yeah,
yeah.
We're at
2. TWO. TWO2.
TWO, yeah.
Ah, Dr. Ayola, you're very generous. I thought you were going to give us a 0.5, but okay.
No, you know why I wouldn't do that? You know why I wouldn't do that?
Please tell us.
Before I came to Nigeria, maybe 0.1. Why I am not giving us that low mark any longer is that for the first time, and I think Nigeria needs to be given accolade for this, the federal government is now actively involved in the tech space, which is quite unusual. Now we have a federal government who has a national center for AI and robotics in Abuja. We have a federal government that is actively involved in 5G, getting us to have that 5G, and it's critical for tech space, by the way.
Right.
We now have a federal government that is looking into innovation. Now we have the Federal Ministry of Science, Technology, and Innovation. And that alone is a policy, it's a statement that every agency of government should be looking into things like drones, smart systems, IoT, Internet of Things, and cool. So So once the government is showing that that's the direction everybody should head, we've got stage one done.
Mm-hmm.
Stage two is the education sector, looking at the primary and secondary schools. For the first time, we now have many schools wanting to include robotics in their curriculum.
Hmm.
And that just means that the younger ones now appreciate the space, robotics, and it's critical for future development. But I can't go past the two, because our higher education, tertiary institutions, don't yet have sufficient capacity to deliver training on robotics and AI. And that, for me, is a bad situation right now.
Hmm. So how do we close that gap?
If we can't produce graduates, how will companies take advantage of the skill? So far, we're there. We have to move.
So how do we close that gap right now?
That's what I'm doing. That's what I am going to do.
Mm, but you clearly can't do it.
You are just one man. You can't do it alone.
And it's a long shot.
It's a lot of work. It's very ambitious.
The truth is this. We need to get the knowledge out. There's one problem I've observed, and that's something I'm trying to fix on my own, and hopefully eventually to become a norm.
Okay.
We have too many tech people in the tech space that only know one thing about their field. They cannot provide the full solution. For example, I met with someone, "Oh, what do you do?" He said, "I'm a web designer and a web developer." I said, "Oh, web developer, that's good. So that means you can actually build the back end, the server system, you can build a database system." He said, no, "I just designed a web page." I said, "But then that means you're not a web developer, you're a web designer. Why can't you move to becoming a web developer as well?" So that you can provide a full solution, front end, back end, database systems, and all that. Then I met somebody else who is an app developer, and I said, "What language, what platform do you use?" He said, "Flutter." "Good. So that means you can help with this particular app that does something on security." And he said, "Oh, no, that one, you have to meet someone that knows Android Studio, because I only know a bit of Flutter. I'm not into..." And these people will go around telling you, "Oh, I'm a developer. I'm a developer." You are a developer, but you are not even fully developed yourself. So it's time to start having a training system that gives these people, enthusiasts, as I will call them, the full knowledge of what they need to provide a solution. If they have that, then we can start talking about having skills developed outside the university that can actually solve industrial problems. So the step I think to take is that let's have a curriculum that every training center can use. It shouldn't be based on just, "Okay, I know this, so I'll teach you this." No. What is the scope of that particular skill?
Okay.
You want to be a full stack web developer, you need to learn Python, you need to learn Java, you need to learn database SQL, you need to learn how to build a server, cloud system, cloud computing. Once you teach them all of that, you know they can go on and solve problems in the health sector. You have many hospitals now trying to migrate into, you know, management information systems where patients and doctors can access their records. That's the person that can solve it if he knows front end, back end, and all that. And I'm looking at how eventually we can have training centers using that same curriculum all over the country to solve this biggest gap. So hopefully that's why I said I can handle that. But I agree that I alone cannot do that. We need collaborative support from the government in terms of supporting agencies that will train or fund the training and other players in the field.
Okay, just to be sure, I get what you're saying. Are you calling for an association of this training center, or you're calling for a regulation of these training centers?
I am calling for a regulation. Yes, a regulation. For example, in the UK, there's a City Guild certificate. And if you're going to train anybody to get that certificate, you must achieve that curriculum. The same way we have with WAEC in the secondary school. If there's a regulation, fine, there can be as many training centers as possible, but there should be a curriculum we are all training towards so the person can sit for an exam. In Canada, for example, you can claim to be an electrical engineer, but you have to write an exam set by the government to prove your capacity. So if you are saying that you know, you have the training, but you can't pass that exam, then everybody knows you're not fully qualified. So that's the sort of thing we don't have in Nigeria. at the moment. Maybe it's something that NBTE, the National Board for Technical Education, can look into, but it's critical that we have that for skills like this. You know, not just welding and cool now, but software development, hardware, app development, robot development, cyber security, and so on.
Mm. So I do understand that you're at the practical end of things, okay? When it comes to innovation, we have a lot of ideas. A lot of people have, you know, countless ideas of what they want to see, what they want to achieve. But, you know, practicalizing this and bringing it to life always seems like a whole lot of challenge. And I guess we've called on this show severally. We have a segment of the show what we call Tech of the Week, where we promote indigenous innovation. And one of the things that we've seen is that a lot of people, except our brothers from the southeast, you know, that have been on the show very frequently, we have a lot of persons complain that they have the idea, but then they are, you know, they have issues bringing or producing a prototype.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now,
so what
problem?
What is really the problem? What is really
I'll
the
tell
problem?
You now. Two things are the problems. Number one, access to raw material. Resources. Today, all resources come from China. Whatever you want to do, you have to buy it from China through AliExpress, Alibaba, or whatever. And because of that, it's very, very difficult. You have to wait for 3 weeks for this thing to be delivered. For example, a 3D printer on AliExpress costs 85,000 Naira, but the shipping fee is 250,000. Naira. So that makes it very expensive for anybody who's a hobbyist to do something like that. And there are some companies in Nigeria trying to make this available, but even they also run out of stock. Now, what's the other step that could have been done? The government is supposed to be helping to provide a sort of reservoir for tech resources. And the reason is critical. Tomorrow, God forbid, if there's another lockdown, and China's borders are shut, we may not be able to build ventilators if we don't have those raw materials somewhere in the warehouse that sells this thing. So we need to be serious about national security, and some of these electronic devices, raw materials and components are critical security resources. Now, when the federal government set up the National Center for AI and Robotics, my expectation was that that center will look into, you know, we'll do a holistic research into what are the challenges affecting innovation in the Southeast, in the Southwest, South, and so, and see how they can use government resources to provide a warehouse for laptops, a warehouse for cameras, a warehouse for motors, a warehouse for components that are useful in all these innovations. But rather than doing that, I think the National Center is focused on creating a workspace. And their job is beyond that. It's actually supposed to be making sure we have, you know, the supply chain taken care of. And that's why you see people tomorrow and several days later in the Southeast, they can build a car, but they don't know where to buy the parts. They want to buy something like maybe a battery, and it takes days. In fact, it's almost impossible to order a battery from abroad, and we don't have a place in Nigeria that sells, that manufactures batteries. So that should be something that government should have as a critical, you know, resource bank. If we can have that, there will be no limitation to how much creativity. But at the same time, we must give kudos to those who are helping to build solutions with materials that are locally found. Even though we know that's just going to limit how fast they can showcase their skill. But at least, if we can look inward, get battery technology that is homegrown, maybe we can go further without having to worry about China or having a bank of these things being stored.
Right. Dr. Ayola, let's look at some of the, would I call them, breakthroughs that robotics, you know, has accomplished in Nigeria. What are there practical, are there tangible proofs?
Testimonies,
exactly. What problems has the field of robotics been able to solve in Nigeria right now as we speak?
Well, in the area of robotics, I can Let me start by, first of all, demystifying what is robotics.
Okay.
So robotics starts from anything automation to artificial intelligence. So even as simple as a traffic light system, it's still robotics. As long as it's intelligent enough to know when to show a red and when to show a green based on the situation on ground. So robotics has been helping in many areas. But to be more specific, in the area of security, drones have been applied to study situations in the northeast and in some areas of the southwest, you know, the forest areas. And technologies like drones are under robotics. The ability to help our security agencies see areas that normally they couldn't have crossed into is a feat on its own. Even though it's still very early, there are still many more advantages of drones that we haven't put to use sufficiently yet. That's one. Then number two, in the area of healthcare, we saw during COVID how some demonstrations were made about ventilators, but more importantly, the ones that were for helping hospitals to first attend to patients using a robot system that can take the temperature and help to know if this person might be a carrier of COVID or not, and guide the person before he or she gets to the doctor. It also was used in the airport, so we can see that that's there. Then in the area of self-driving cars, which is also very good in robotics, a great robotic invention. We know it hasn't been fully used yet, but we have seen indications that it's coming up. Even here in Nigeria, with I think there was a project in Unilag, I can't really remember now, one that had to do with a vehicle that could move with electricity. I'm not sure if they got to the point of having it self-driving. But even at RAIN also, we have voice-controlled vehicles that you can speak to and it will move accordingly. And also, at RAIN, we have drones that you can tell move from point A to point B coordinate-wise, and it will go to that particular location. So, already we have that. But as far as changing our story as a country, robotics has not yet been deployed to areas that it could actually use, be used. We have a long way to go. That's why I said, okay, as far as awareness is concerned, we are great. But deployment, we are still very, like zero. We haven't really deployed it per se. Even the hospitals I mentioned, using robots or the airports, you may want to find out now where they are. I mean, those robots are probably just, kept in a room. We are not giving ourselves the opportunity to learn and improve on this technology. We are not doing that, and we should be doing that.
Lagos, if you'd like to be a part of this conversation, send us a message on WhatsApp 0809597585. We would have called out the phone lines as well, but we are very careful so as not to interrupt the connection we have right now with Dr. Ayola. But Dr. Ayola, let's talk a bit about humanoids. You know, I'm sure you heard us talking about some of the callers and listeners who have said that they would love to have human companions, humanoid robots as companions, and all that. Why do people keep trying to make robots look like humans? What? I mean, if you've mentioned that these things, they can, the robots are already doing, doing tasks for human beings. Is there any need to go as far as making them look like human beings? To what end?
I will tell you now. You know, we have to agree on either of two things.
Okay.
Either we build our community to be able to, we adapt our community to a robot lifestyle, or we adapt a robot to our human lifestyle. Now, if I have a house and I want a robot that can be useful in my house, I might have to remove the staircase and change it to a ramp. I might have to change my doors from the one you use your hand to open to one that you push a button to open.
Mm-hmm.
But why do that when I can simply build the robot to look like me, have the same hands like I have, be able to climb the steps like I can, be able to carry plates and pots like I can? So that's the reason robots may need to be made to look like human beings.
But then,
so you don't have to modify your kitchen.
Right, right, doctor. But then, wouldn't that render humans redundant?
That's the best thing, isn't it?
No, I want to work out.
No, you don't want to. The truth about life is that everybody wants to get to a point where they don't have to do anything.
But that's a problem. Because obesity will be on the rise. People will start having health problems.
I think you're seeing it from a different, from the negative perspective.
It's not negative. It is us being very, careful here.
But that's why we're working hard in life, to make money so we can relax and not do anything.
And travel the world, right?
Well, no. That's why a lot of these rich men end up with, even with all the money,
yes,
they still have to go and work out.
The good thing about the rich men having those problems is that they can still afford to take a day off and say, you know what, today I'm just going to do exercise. But think about that person whose job is in the bank, 7 to 7, sitting down writing letters and papers and fixing documents.
And using the brain, exercising his brain.
Well, not the brain, but doesn't have the chance to say, you know what, today I'm going to the stadium to do exercise, or I'm going to be on this diet or whatever. But when you have freedom, you can choose to spend, like abroad, it's because we're not very disciplined in Nigeria. In other countries, in countries like US and UK, rich people spend their time hiking, swimming, doing things that will keep them fit. And that's why someone like Mark Zuckerberg is not fat, even though he is rich.
Doctor, you're talking about Oyibo people. Nigerians will spend their time eating akpu and drinking tombo.
Give us a little bit of insight, when it comes to what you developed for the UK government as regards the underwater and ground robots.
When I read that, my head swelled.
Were they humanoid or not?
No, not humanoid. In fact, they can't be humanoid for the application. I'll explain to you.
Okay.
So the UK was one of the very first countries to go into nuclear energy, nuclear weapons and coal in the 1940s. And when they got into that, they were not thinking about how they are going to dispose all the radioactive byproducts. So it was just a matter of, let's get producing this energy for what we want to use it for. Now, that several decades after, all of the byproducts from these radioactive missions are still being kept in buildings, either as silos or in ponds filled with water, and so that the radiation does not get out, hoping that it will eventually lose its radioactivity, and then they can find a way to permanently dispose these radioactive byproducts. But then, while this is being kept, there must be constant monitoring of the conditions within the silos and ponds. Human beings cannot go into this building because of the radiation. So they need robots that can go there. So my focus was robotics for extreme environments. And why I say it cannot be humanoid is for so many reasons. Number one, you want to go into a building that contains radioactive material, but you're not planning to open the door because that's already a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're planning to do is to have a very small hole somewhere at the top, like a pipe of 3 inches, and you want your robot to pass through that hole to get into the building, survey all that needs to be surveyed, and come back out or die inside the building. Now, when that kind of constriction is the case, the robot must be adapted to that space.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we did was to build a robot that was like a long pipe, but when it enters through that hole, it turns its body to a U-shape, becomes a vehicle again, and can move. So that's one application. It can't be a humanoid. It had to be adapted to that situation. Then, of course, problems were that robots cannot last so long in radiation because of the electronics. So it had to be shielded, or it had to do whatever I needed to do quickly. Then the battery was another problem as well. Okay, but eventually, that problem, that application exposed us to many more challenges in the robotics field, and that's the issue of communication. Communication, because communication with, from a robot to an outside station would be possible if only the buildings are not as thick as the ones being used as silos. 1 meter thick, for example, steel and concrete reinforcement. So how can we create communication system that can pass through these walls? Now, that was another area of research. Then, more importantly for me, was the underwater robotics. Underwater GPS systems, which we use to know our location on Earth, cannot work. And so also, underwater communication does not exist. So any drone or submarine underwater cannot speak to another drone or submarine in the water. They have to prop up their antennas out of the water to speak using radio frequency. So there was a solution, and that's what I was working on. And it was at that point I decided that, you know what, I'm coming back to Nigeria to get this finished so that it can be a patent owned by Nigeria. And that's why I came back.
Wow. We're happy to have it back.
For many countries.
So how far is the project gone?
No, the project currently hasn't started at this point. The reason is this. You need a pond to even test underwater robotics.
But Dr. Yola, there's flooding everywhere right now.
I don't understand.
No, not that type of pond. You know, it has to be controlled. The kind of pond that you know what is inside, you know the turbidity of the water, and then gradually you deliberately increase the turbidity and see if that communication can still continue or you improve your system. It has to be about 6 meters deep. The pond has to be deep. So I am getting to that point. I am going gradually. Just recently, we signed an MOU with the National Space Research and Development Agency. So we are getting there. And I believe that in about 5 years from now, Nigeria will be able to compete globally in the area of robotics and AI.
Five years.
I have a thought, right? Dr. Ayola, you talked a lot about underwater and stuff. Now, imagine for a second, let's go into our imagination right now. Nigeria is currently dealing with flooding in 27 states, right? Mm-hmm. Imagine that we had robotic tankers. Just imagine for a second that we had robotic tankers that could, you know, absorb all of this water. Yes, different, you know, robotic tankers everywhere, stationed everywhere in different communities across the country. I'm talking about tens or hundreds of them, able to absorb all of this water and maybe drain the water into the ocean or something. That would have solved the problem we are having right now. People wouldn't have been displaced and all of
not
that.
Not really.
How and why?
Let me explain something. Okay, two things. Number one. Robotics only does for us easily and faster what human beings can do. So if, for example, it's possible for physical tankers driven by human beings to do this, then we can have robotics do this. But unfortunately, the problem is in what you said. You said they would empty it into the ocean.
Or somewhere else.
And that is...
Or even refine the water.
It can only be to the ocean. But
what if we're able to refine the water?
Yeah, the solution to the flood is in the dredging of the Niger River. Because water will always find its level. If you don't give it enough space, it will come up.
So how about we start thinking of building robots that can dredge the Niger River?
That's possible.
That's something feasible.
Why is that possible is that in the UK, while I was there, one of the robots we built was a tractor that was automated. So there was no need for a driver. And this was a tractor that was underwater. So underwater, it was, you know, separating some of the debris, the radioactive waste I talked about. It was doing that. So you have cameras on it. You can see, you can cut, you can move things away. Underwater, whoever is driving it doesn't have to be underwater. So I can agree with you now that doing such a project that can be managed by people over the water while dredging on the water, I mean, that is going to be fantastic. We can do that, actually. We can do that.
There's a light bulb, right?
See what I mean when we talk about these things? See why we should go into our imagination?
Light bulb moments whereby
honestly,
an idea has popped up.
Yes.
Very straightforward. We would simply have the actual tractors remove the driver's seats, replace them with proper hydraulic systems with valves that can be controlled by computer, and then made waterproof. It's been done. I mean, it's not a new technology. That's how other countries go about their own. So why can't we use our own?
Well, Lagos, let's take your thoughts on this. Emmanuel, do you have a question?
No. I think we should have our thoughts. A lot of persons, I guess, are inching to say a lot. So.
Lagos, let's hear your thoughts. Send us a message on WhatsApp, 080-959-75805. Or call us on 0700-993-993-993. Or 01465-7190. 7190. Emmanuel, do we have a message on WhatsApp?
This is just a commendation message. We'll get to that in a moment. But while we wait for the calls, Dr. Ayola, let's take some calls and we'll be back with you.
Let's hope that this works. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Good welcome morning. To the show. Turn down the volume of your radio set or whatever that buzzy bee sound is.
I turned it off already.
Okay. Fantastic.
We are talking about robots that can do so many things.
Mm-hmm.
I am Esther from Ikorodu.
We know you, ma'am. Go ahead, ma'am. We know.
And we are talking about robots that can do so many things.
Mm-hmm.
What about robots in agriculture?
Mm.
Cutting the grass, putting seeds in the ground, and being a gate man.
Okay.
What about that?
Thank you very much, Madam Esther. Please hang up the call.
We need robots. This kind of things in agriculture.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Please hang up the call so that we can take another call. Thank you very much. Oh, goodness. How do I?
Okay, thank you.
That's the problem. That's why I didn't want to take. Oh, goodness. I hope
happened.
I haven't. Oh, it happened. It happened, unfortunately.
All right, so we should take more calls and we will get him back.
Hello. Sorry about that. Hello.
Hello, can you hear us? Good morning.
Hello, Vaughn.
Yes, welcome to the show.
Yes, good morning. My name is Shamaga.
Okay, Shamaga, go ahead.
I would like to buttress the last caller's point.
Mm-hmm.
You see, Nigeria has the potential to be the world leader in agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
We have arable land. We literally have everything, but we are farm mechanization away from leading the world in agricultural exports.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I would like to ask Dr. Ayola if he's ever thought of channeling experience towards farm mechanization, you know, to help us in agriculture. Is he only just in IT? Can't he just look into that farm mechanization, you know, get us robots that can help us in agriculture?
Fantastic. Okay. Shamaga, thank you so much for sharing that thought. Let's see if we can get Dr. Ayola back on the line to answer some of these questions now.
Mm.
Okay, I think I'm going to take this last call before I do that. Hello.
Hello, good day, Evan.
Hello, welcome to the show. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Actually, wanted to just say a good kudos to Dr. Ayola.
Aww.
People like them who are flying the flags of this country are really making us very, very proud.
Thank you.
Continue to pray that they will also advance in their field of endeavor and never forget this country. It's their duty so that when they come back, they contribute their own quota.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much
you
for
very
calling.
Much.
Okay, Lagos, I'm going to try now to get Dr. Ayola back on the line.
But don't forget that WhatsApp...
send us messages on WhatsApp. Emmanuel, do we have WhatsApp messages?
It's still open. Yeah, we have a message here. And he's asking about the use of robotics in smart home and how much people are accepting it. That's a very good point, especially because I have a little bit of idea when it comes to let me not sell myself short. I have ideas, I have a great knowledge when it comes to real estate, and I know a lot of people are adopting smart homes.
Okay.
We have a lot of persons adopting smart homes who wants to.
Dr. Ayola, welcome back.
Yeah, thank you.
I tried to drop a call and it just dropped your call. Forgive me.
I understand. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Welcome back. So, yeah, we had someone on the show, Esther and Shomaga, talking about agriculture and how, and they were asking if you had it in mind, you know, to develop robots to, you know, boost
mechanized farming.
That's right.
Oh, okay. So, yes, in the area of agriculture, we've done something for the federal government. It's an Internet of Things device that allows farmers to control their irrigation and the temperature of the poultry farms. So that has been done in Jigawa and Abeokuta for the federal government under the scheme they call the NAFSA, National Adopted Village for Smart Agriculture.
Okay.
But in the area of mechanized farming, the closest we have worked on is that of drones for spraying of pesticides.
Yeah, okay.
We haven't done robots that can help to create ridges or harvest produce from the farm. But that's something that will be looked into. It's just that when it comes to mechanized farming using robotics, the farm has to now be designed in a way, organized in a way that everything is, you know, there are lanes for the robot to pass through, and things are not just planted haphazardly. So if we can do that, then yes, it will be possible. So I think that's a stage we'll be coming to soon. I know of someone in Jigawa, a professor in Jigawa, who is looking into a sort of center that will be developing smart solutions for farms and mechanized farming. So hopefully we'll get more of such across the country. There are other areas of agriculture that robotics can help, you know, in terms of food processing, making sure that we don't continue to export raw materials, rather we should import processed foods. That is another consideration, using robotic systems for processing the food and preserving them. So that's also been done by various inventors across the country.
Okay.
So I think it's possible, yeah.
Okay, Emmanuel, do we have another message?
Yeah, we do have messages here. This is coming from MI from Victoria Line. He said, wow, I can't lie, I'm enjoying myself listening to the show. It will be a really good experience having a Nigerian population that will be so inclined to robotics. Introducing
Indeed.
Robotics as a course of study in Nigerian universities will be very nice.
Indeed.
I am an electrical engineer, but I wouldn't mind going back to school to study robotics. That's a very good standpoint, MI. But we still have a young man, you know, who we have to reach out to.
That's
right. He's in Kano, and he actually developed a robot in Nigeria.
Fantastic.
He has been in the news everywhere, and we're trying our best to try and lay our hands on him. And finally, we have him, and he'll be joining us on Tech of the Week.
Right now, in fact.
But Dr. Ayola, before we let you go, Lagos would like to connect with you.
That's right.
On your social media platforms. So which is comfortable for you to your personal social media platform? Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
All right. I'll give you the rain one. Is it okay?
That is why I said thank you very much.
Okay. So my personal one.
Exactly.
On Instagram.
Okay.
Is Dr. Dr. Olu_official. Dr. Olu_official.
Okay.
And that's me on Instagram.
Okay. So on what about LinkedIn?
LinkedIn, you can find me with my full name, Dr. Olushola Sayid Ayola. That's Dr. Olushola Sayed Ayola.
Fantastic.
We'll definitely have you back on the show, Dr. Ayola, because we really did not exhaust this topic. But we'll certainly have you back on the show, you know, to tell us more and to give us more insight and tell us what more we should expect from the Nigerian population.
That's right. In the meantime, Dr. Ayola, we have to let you go so that we can bring this fantastic 17-year-old all the way from Kano to join us on the show this morning.
Okay.
Indeed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
All right, Lagos, don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. We're about to connect with this 17-year-old, as Emmanuel said, that developed a robot. Stay with us.